Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event! Hello to all our dear listeners. This is your spokesman with a plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, coming to you after somewhat of an absent spell, as since December of 2018, I've been sailing around the world. From Italy to Canada, I've been making my way across this beautiful land of ours, searching for new meaning to an older existence. I'm happy to say I'm back now, and here to let you in on some stuff going on as of late. In mid-2018, the Cloverleaf Radio Network expanded to include our friends Josh and Ariana over at Night Moves Radio. It's been a splendid partnership, and Jimmy, Jane, and I are happy to welcome them to the family. They also brought along Soul Stories, which features inspiring poetry, read by the author herself, Ariana Cherry. We've been brought onto many new networks, including Anchor, the ASY podcasting network, WordPress, Podbean, even iHeartRadio. We've also started a fresh new YouTube page, as well as updating our Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and expanding our network to new segments, more radio reunions, all news guests, and so much more. Also, the Cloverleaf Radio Network, Jimmy, Ariana, and Josh, will be appearing upcoming at two conventions, SilCon and Dark History Con. SilCon will be held September 6th and 7th, 2019, at Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois, while Dark History Con will be held October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center Performance Venue in Champaign, Illinois. Be sure and check out the newest guest appearances, as well as find out about up-to-date ticket information by visiting www.silcon.com or www.dhhc.com. Although, please note, SilCon is a free event. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to follow and support us for 11 years. This is Clarence Cloverleaf saying, good day to you.
Alrighty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. Nice little update from Clarence Cloverleaf. I am the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. It's an absolute honor to welcome the Cuban assassin, Richie Acevedo, to the show. How's it going, Richie?
I am doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good up here in Illinois. It's hot as always, but what more can you expect for July?
Yeah, summertime heat for a heat wave summer.
How's everything going on the East Coast over there? Pretty good?
Well, you know, West Virginia is really not that far from Illinois. I mean, it's only just a few hours drive, really, to Illinois, so they're not that far east. It's going pretty hot and humid over here in West Virginia, but I've been kind of busy on a new movie shoot of mine I've been doing. It's called The Zombie Club. It stars Dee Kane, the guy used to play Superman and Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman with Terry Hatcher. So we've doing that. Oh, yeah, we've been doing that up there and taking care of that up in Bridgeport, West Virginia, filming that. That's where that's being filmed at currently. I'm currently off for the day from the shoot, but I got to go back early in the morning to do my last few scenes, and I'll be wrapped up on that film project. And then I got to head straight afterwards, straight down to Winfield, West Virginia, for a wrestling match where me and my son, the Cuban Commando, will be tag teaming together in a double collar dog chain match against Bars and Stars.
You got a lot of great stuff on your plate, it sounds like.
Yes. One thing I always try to do is keep myself busy as much as possible. And since I come out of retirement to, you know, team up with my son and my nephew so they can carry on the Cuban legacy tradition and also carrying on my own acting career at the same time, it does kind of keep me kind of busy.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty cool when TV shows and even movies branch out from places like Hollywood, Chicago, and New York and get to smaller states and towns, because it helps, you know, the actors a lot in the small towns become more known and get those great parts.
Well, you know, Hollywood land over there in California is just a central home base, but Hollywood is the whole world. So,
right.
You know, the whole world is the stage. So that's how Hollywood works. It went from indoor staging to the whole world as a stage.
Absolutely. And I think it's gotten a lot better also with the expanding of the internet and YouTube and lots of streaming and sharing sites. You can get your products out there a lot more.
Well, I mean, that's generally life itself. Everything changes with technology as everything goes forward. So, I mean, technology changes everything. Before movies and television and radio, it was theater and live performances. So, I mean, now you have a nice good reference that you can go back and always watch history in the making. That's what I love about filmmaking, because it's actually history immortalized on film. And you can always go back and look at all these things from as far back as the movie projector and the camera was invented.
Oh, absolutely. And professional wrestling been right there next to it as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, professional wrestling was tailor-made for television, and definitely wrestlers were tailor-made to be actors the same as well as anyone else. I mean, a lot of the old legends, such as, you know, Frank Gotch, you know, he performed in vaudeville plays, and George Hackenschmidt did as well, and they were the first two world champions. And, of course, wrestling was part of the P.T. Barnum at shows of the Circus Act, and that's where the call for characters and fictitious backgrounds came in existence. It's also where we got our language carny from. We stole it from the carnies. And but you know, the first wrestling card was based on a vaudeville play card, like Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Match 1, Match 2, Match 3.
Wow.
So a lot of similarities. Yeah, a lot of similarities, because we stole it from them.
But I think, you know, a lot of people, especially I'm sure today's the younger generation has never heard of Farmer Burns or Frank Gotch or George Hackenschmidt or Dana O'Mahony or any of these legends of the days gone by.
Well, a true diehard wrestling fan would, but wrestling fans today would only be optimal to what they're seeing on television and programmed to WWE history. But there's more of wrestling history besides WWE, so. But it is what it is. I mean, that's just how things are. I mean, that's wrestling today. I mean, like I try to tell some of my brothers that don't like how wrestling's changed. I'm like, well, you know, movies change, TV shows change, music changes, even other sporting events such as football, basketball, NASCAR, the whole list, they all changed. And boxing, too. I mean, they're not the same as what I was when I was growing up watching it, and it wasn't the same before that. So it all changes, and that's just life itself. It's about change.
Absolutely. And I guess starting off my questions, I was curious, starting off, of course, you're the son of the legendary Cuban assassin, Angel Acevedo, and how's your dad doing these days?
Well, you know, a few years ago he had a slight stroke, which kind of put the family in concern for his health, but he's doing much better these days, and he's doing all right. He lives in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada now. He's, you know, 78 years old now, but he still does appearances and stuff at certain wrestling events and shows. So, you know, he still kind of caters towards the wrestling industry. I mean, that was his passion and his love. And but he's doing very well. He's doing good. And, you know, he... he's also one of those kind of critics, you know, that against modern day wrestling as well, but that's just how it is. I mean, he's used to his own time period. So, I mean, when you talk to him, he's still going to tell you he was, you know, part of the Cuban army and Fidel Castro's personal bodyguard, which was a fictitious story. He still sticks to that, but that's not true. It's just him being the old original Cuban assassin.
And see, I personally would, that would just make me brighten up in the face, because kayfabe is what many long consider to be dead, and that your father is still practicing it is, it's awesome. I think it's great.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I even try to explain to him the technology. I mean, it's not like anybody can't just Google and look it up, and they find a whole history and find out that he's actually born in Puerto Rico, raised in Puerto Rico. So, I mean, you know, he's just one of those people who doesn't have technology in his life other than a television, remote control, and a simple phone. So, but yeah, it's great that, you know, all these old timers and veterans, I like to call them veterans, I don't like to call them old timers. These veterans, they like to stick to the kayfabe part of their character. But the thing is that, you know, kayfabe, and a lot of people have a misconception of what kayfabe was for. It was never to hide anything from the fans or to treat the fans stupid in any way. Kayfabe was a way to keep the boys in line and to keep the image of the art professional looking. So that way, because people have to understand, back in the day, you know, people actually gambled on wrestling. And
If
you had found out that wrestling was a work and was controlled and manipulated, I mean, why would you bet on something that's going to be controlled? Well, that's how it was back then. That was the real purpose of it. It's just to keep the boys in line, to keep it as it went on, it traditionally went on, because, you know, they couldn't gamble on it no more. So kayfabe was just more or less used to keep the boys in line. It was never meant to hide or cover up anything from the audience or the fans. It's just to give them more of a believability of the wrestling match when the suspension of disbelief takes place, so they can really have something to believe in, like a really good movie or TV show that they get into, or soap opera. And that's what the kayfabe was actually meant for, just to keep the boys aligned and to give a good professional atmosphere and look to the product that the audience are paying their hard-earned money for in that ticket.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's pretty, I'd say, a thing that many don't quite understand about kayfabe. Everyone just thinks that it's the whole keeping your character and, you know, being a heel in front of the fans and not interacting with the faces out in the public and stuff. But, you know, you made a great point that that was kind of spearheaded by all the promoters, just to keep wrestling the way it was and the way it should have been.
Well, yeah, but as everything else, everything changes in time, and wrestling is a entertainment business, which has always been an entertainment business. At one time, it was legitimately, you know, real competition, especially for the championship titles, but the whole thing got changed up after, you know, one match in 1920 between Ed Stranger Lewis and Joe Stecker. You know, they wrestled for like 4.5 hours straight on a legitimate bout for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, four referees collapsed from exhaustion, and the last referee stopped the match. The audience was already up and had already left the building. I mean, you're sitting there for 4.5 hours on one match. And then next thing you know, both Stecker and Lewis spent a couple of days in the hospital. They had to rethink this whole thing about the entertainment aspect, and that's where they brought in the work matches from the Carney shows. That's when they realized that the performance match was a little bit more important than what they realized in order to keep the industry going. So it had to change, and then, of course, the second big change was television, and the first television superstar, which was Gorgeous George. And that was the second big event to really change the wrestling game, and per se, because then people wanted to be more character-like, following after Gorgeous George. Of course, the wrestlers didn't like it, but then it progressed again with you know, Andre the Giant, becoming the second most known athlete in the world other than Muhammad Ali. And Cena was never had a wrestler to be known worldwide. I mean, anywhere he went, people knew who he was. And, of course, cable, the advent of cable television, and of course, where Hulk Hogan played Thunderlips against Sylvester Stallone's Rocky Balboa in Rocky III, well, that just completely changed the diagrammics and the whole thing for demographics for the whole wrestling industry completely, and that's what it is today.
Yeah, I think even non-wrestling fans should realize that Gorgeous George spearheaded Muhammad Ali. I mean, that's going to be one of the biggest.
Well,
go ahead.
Muhammad Ali had already told people, you know, that he had to change things, you know, for his boxing career. And along with the name change, he had to do something different. And he did get the whole idea from Gorgeous George, you know, the trash talking. You know, people don't realize that the first person to come out to ring entrance theme in wrestling was Gorgeous George. He was also the first character in television. He was the guy who came up with, you know, the first guy to come up with catchphrases, you know. People don't realize that. People want to think The Rock did, but no, it was Gorgeous George was the first one to ever do any of that stuff. Long before Bleach, first one to bleach Blondie's hair, he was the first on all that level. And other people followed. It wasn't just Muhammad Ali that followed after Gorgeous George and did that. It was also Joe Namath of the New York Jets, also stole from Gorgeous George. As a matter of fact, I mean, if you look at Joe Namath, you kind of see the same trash talking and the same luxury and style of Nature Boy Ric Flair. I mean, if you watch the old Joe Namath and getting people mad so they can pack the seats to see the other team trying to sack him, he took his team to two back-to-back Super Bowl championships. He was showing off the Rolex watches and the nice fur coat and the dune buggy, nice cars and the girls. And, you know, he took after Gorgeous George. And if you look at Joe Namath before Ric Flair came on the scene, pretty much Ric Flair was doing the same trash talking and everything that Joe Namath was doing. So, I mean, it all comes from one big idea. So Gorgeous George was the guy who really did make a big impact in the business. I agree to that.
Yeah, and using the entrance music, Pomp and Circumstance, that was so far ahead of its time, and Macho Man ended up, you know, popularizing it. But, yeah, that's a great point you made as well.
Well, Macho Man was another persona of Gorgeous George, and Randy Savage stole Gorgeous George's gimmick. He fashioned himself after Gorgeous George. He said, Gorgeous George, you have the Macho Man. You see, and he's doing the flamboyancy, the pomp and circumstances, you know, being the whole complete character. And he took from Gorgeous George as well. You know, I mean, it's just, ideas come from other ideas. And, you know, which basically inspires a lot of other young talents in the wrestling industry to do the same, which is actually how it's supposed to be. I mean, the first one to look like, you know, it wasn't the first Frank Gotch. There's a bunch of people who want to be Frank Gotch, you know. And then after you know, Estrangle Lewis, a lot of people want to be Estrangle Lewis. Luthez was the one who followed after Estrangle Lewis, you know. And it just passes on and passes on. You can actually look at Harley Race as the spinoff of Luthez. And so forth. You can look at Triple H and you see him more like a mixture of Harley Race and Ric Flair. So, I mean, they all get their ideas from other wrestlers.
Yeah, it's a whole lot better to pick up a few things and mold them to make them your own than to go out and be the 15,000th person to play Doink the Clown on Andy's show.
Yeah, well, and the original Matt Bourne, who was Doink the Clown, he's dead and gone, God rest his soul. And yet people are still seeing Doink the Clown on wrestling shows everywhere. The character lives, but the man who was the character is gone. But I agree with that. And Doink the Clown, a funny story on that. I mean, Road Warrior Hawk kind of made a joke about that when he was in then the World Wrestling Federation with Vince McMahon. And he said, I could probably paint my face as a clown and go out there and be over. And you say that around Vince McMahon, it gives him the idea. And that's where Doink the Clown actually came from.
And boy, did it get over.
Oh, yeah, it did. As a heel, as a baby face, and it's still Doink the Clown, like I said, even though he's dead, he still shows up everywhere. Wrestling shows everywhere. So it's the one gimmick that just won't die. But, yeah, I mean, it's also kind of like, I guess, a montage coming from where we were part of the Carnies at one time, full clowns, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. I did want to ask you a question about your acting. You've had some pretty awesome roles in some pretty cool films and TV shows. And what I noticed was Concussion starring Will Smith. What was that?
Well, that was shot in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And actually, it was my third film project when I started acting. And it was my second big production, you know, because like not even three weeks before that, I was on an episode of AMC's The Making of the Mob, New York, in episode 5. But then I got the call to go up to be an extra background for Concussion up in there, Pittsburgh. I didn't realize I was actually going to be in a real quick scene with Will Smith, but there was a lot more to that scene. But that movie was so long, they had to cut a whole bunch of stuff out and cut it down, because I actually had interaction with Will Smith and Al Brooks in the movie.
Wow.
So, yeah, but they had to cut it out. So, I mean, but, you know, you get a brief to see me there, but it was kind of cool to meet Will Smith and Al Brooks and, you know, to really see them work. That was just, a treat for me and a blessing in disguise, because it was really, really nice time to be there. It's only a one-day shoot for me, and they didn't have me back for any more days, just the one day. But I took it anyway. It was, you know, starting out with, you know, Will Smith. I mean, like, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I think that's what some people don't understand. I mean, even Will Smith didn't become Will Smith overnight. He always has to get these roles. And it seems like even people that have minor roles or crowd scenes always have a great story about interacting with one of the stars. It's almost always seems like a great experience.
Well, you know, you learn from that, and that's where everybody starts, you know, and the first thing I ever had with acting was back when I was doing the 1999 Atlantic Grand Prix Wrestling Legends Tour and up in Canada. And Rene Dupree had got on to TV episode of a TV series, a starring role, feature role, on the series called Lunatics. And it was a, you know, French-Canadian television series, children's sci-fi kind of the show. And then episode 9, The Extinct Rebel. And, well, he kind of hurt the stunt coordinator in the, I guess, working with him. And he was a young guy just got out of college. I guess he didn't understand it. Being a stunt coordinator where you're going to kind of do stunts and you're going to kind of get hurt. And so he kind of refused to do anything more with Renee. So since I was already wrestling Renee, they hired me on to get in the ring with Renee since I'm already wrestling him anyway. And had me and Wildman Gary Williams in the scene, along with the referee, which was Renee Dupree's uncle, Ron Gauguin, in that scene. And and that's, you know, my first taste of film work and acting. And I was going to pursue it more, but when I got home from the tour, I had gotten a phone call from Kevin Kelly at the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation. And since I was already busting my rear end for wrestling, I figured, you know, I would just go the wrestling course. Plus, I was also dealing with, you know, Paul Warndorf and Leo Burke for WCW at that time. But I had gotten booked for Callers Colognes in Puerto Rico before these people called me. And I wanted to do the tour in Puerto Rico to keep my word, because I like to be a man of my word. And what happened is that while I was in Puerto Rico, which was in 2001, well, that's when Vince McMahon had purchased WCW, both my tryouts. Yeah, both my tryouts for WCW and the WWFN was just gone. It was over. And, yeah, I know, worst timing ever. And then I would have dealings with Mark Carano's later on, and things just didn't work out, which I'm not going to, you know, cry over or, you know, hold any resentment. It is what it is, but it led me to something else. So I didn't realize I, you know, would actually like the atmosphere of wrestling and stuff, but I really enjoyed it, you know, so that's why I started doing the acting, and that's what wrestling introduced me to it, so.
Justin, I know you heard the 90 seconds. Just ignore that. We're not going to get hung up on or anything. but before we do wrap up, I saw you had a really awesome Legends Triple Threat match coming up in August. You, Rene Dupree, and Mang. Tell us about that. I know you got some other shows and stuff coming up. Feel free to let everybody know.
Yeah, that's an ASW All-Star Wrestling show for promoter Gary Dameron. And it's going to be in Madison, West Virginia, at the Madison Civic Center or auditorium down there. It's just it kind of seems like a joke to me. What do you get when you get a Cuban, a Frenchman, and a Samoan in a ring? You kind of get kind of disastrous match. But, you know, you have a lot of hotheads in there. But I think it's going to be fun. I imagine I'm going to get my rear end whipped by two big guys. I'm the only midget in the ring. Even the manager, Colonel Rob Parker, you know, he's going to be in Ming's corner. So I think I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, personally.
And I love getting to see, you know, everyone loves getting to see the legends and stuff still performing after they've gone off TV and stuff. Rene Dupree still looks in great shape. And Mang is known as one of the scariest legit guys in pro wrestling. And of course, Colonel Parker. Dastardly. So it should be an interesting one.
I think so. I'm looking forward to it.
And, of course, let everybody know where they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, anything like that. It was great talking with you, Richie. Sorry about the mix-up last week.
That's no problem. I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you for having me.
All righty, guys. Well, before I get disconnected, hopefully I can rattle all this stuff off. We're going to be back July 14th. We welcome back my dear friend, the actor and pro wrestling manager, Nikita Brezhnikov. He's coming back to the show to promote his new book, When It Was Real, co-authored with Scott Teal of Crowbar Press. July 19th, which is a week from today, we were scheduled to welcome women's wrestling legend and former WCW star Malia Hasaka. Due to some scheduling conflicts on both ends, we're going to be rescheduling her July 25th as Season 6, Episode 1 of The Hollywood Connection with celebrity interview and a Guinness World Record holder, Pavlina Asta. July 30th, actor, director, producer Marty Schiff from Dawn of the Dead. August 3rd, we have author Amy Hale joining us ahead of 2019 SilCon. And we also have August 5th, the Man on the Moon 20th Anniversary Radio Reunion. So lots of great shows coming up. Of course, 2019 SoCon will be held September 6th and 7th, 2019 at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois. 2019 Dark History and Horror Con, October 26th and 27th, 2019 at the City Center of Champaign, Illinois. SoCon.com or DHHCon.com for more info. All right, guys, thanks to everybody for listening. Big thanks again to the Cuban Assassin. We'll see everybody in a few days. Have a great night. Thanks for listening.